beginning with verses 5 through 7. Please stand with me as we read God's Word. Today we're going to learn about humility. Humility in action. Not stagnant, not just feeling good, but in action. And it's found in 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 7. I believe this passage actually can change your life if you practice these principles here. So it begins with verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. And read verse 7 out loud with me. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Father, we so often hold on to our anxieties. We hold on to our lives. We hold on to the things we want to say, things we want to do, things that are important to us. And you've called us to a different life, to humbly serve you and to cast all of our anxieties upon you, to live for you, knowing you care for us. Lord, help us to practice this today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Our middle schoolers went to middle school camp a week or so ago. And they had, by the way, 8 of them that had made decisions to follow Christ during that camp from our youth group. Praise God. And there was a very special man in our church, Charlie Cole, that was one of the camp counselors. Charlie Cole is 70, I believe. And he volunteered to be a middle school camp counselor. He didn't just volunteer. Charlie Cole went with full enthusiasm to humble himself and to serve. He did anything and everything the kids were doing. No excuses. No, I'm too old. No, I have done that when I was a kid. I won't do that again. He plowed into every activity with full energy, so much so that every other youth pastor at the camp said, I want to clone some Charlie Coles. I need that kind of man in our youth group. He became the blob master. If you know what a blob is, it's this big, huge inflatable thing. And if you put a kid on the end and then an adult jumps onto it off of a tall platform, the kid flies about 30, 40 feet in the air. It's really cool to watch. And Charlie, over and over again, was chosen by the youth. Charlie, please fly me to the moon kind of thing. And because he did it with such great enthusiasm. Humility in action. When you choose humility, you're making a choice of how you're going to live your life moment by moment. It is not an emotion. Humility is not something you feel. That is a huge mistake in our English language. Oh, I'm just not feeling humble. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has to do with a decision. You are going to choose. I will live as a humble servant. Now, this is what happens. First of all, we talked about identity earlier. You need to choose this identity. You need to choose this identity that you are going to receive His plan. You are going to say to the Lord, I will grab hold of your plan for my life, your identity for me. I have become a child of God. I've become a Christ follower. Now I am going to embrace the identity you have for me. I will receive your plan for my life, my relationships, and everything I do today. I will embrace your identity for me to be that humble servant. He starts with verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger. He had already talked to the elders about being humble. He already talked to the husbands in chapter 3 about being humble. He talked to the wives in chapter 3 about being humble. He talked to all the Christians who are suffering in this world about being humble. And now he's talking to the youth. What an amazing example in our church this morning. The kids that went to Belize, the kids that are leading worship and saying they want to serve. They want to humbly serve. So it tells the youth, be subject to the elders. I like the New Living Translation phrase. It says, accept the authority of the elders. To line up under, the word means to have a military concept that that you will be under somebody else in authority. By the way, that is a principle of life that our kids need to learn. It's a principle of life that every one of us needs to learn. That life is well lived when you have the submissive spirit. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account." That God loves that submissive response to situations. So now how do you do it? He says in verse 5, "Clothe yourselves, all of you." Now he's talking not just to the youth, he's talking to every one of us. And the word he uses there means to tie a knot, or to wear servant garments, or to put on an apron, to cover yourself, to get serious about, to get yourself dirty, to put humility to work. That's what the word means. It means you got to take it serious. I will clothe myself with humility. The willingness to be humble toward one another, it says. To be ready and willing to serve no matter what. To have this mutual effort toward each other in the body of Christ, where we are serving one another without prejudice, without hesitation, without discernment that says, well, I'll serve you, but I won't serve you. But this openness to all people around us that God brings into our place, divine appointments, where we say, I am going to serve. And it will be hard. It will be difficult. During the police trip, I heard reports where there was one request. There was a big pile of dirt that needed to be moved from one spot to the next so they could do their building project. So they asked for volunteers. And 90 degrees plus weather, high humidity. Who wants to move dirt? You know, that's happened in the Army before, hasn't it? Who wants to move dirt? Step forward and everybody steps back, you know. And somebody that's not paying attention is all of a sudden standing by themselves. That's not what happened at the police trip. The hands shot up, and some of our young men, Kevin Gregg playing the drums was one of them, said, sure, I'll move dirt. The pastor's wife came to them. This is a pretty large group of 24 kids getting dirty and stinky every day. The pastor's wife, on her own, that they were serving, insisted on doing laundry for the whole team. So at the end of the day, their laundry was done. Nobody asked her to do that. She wanted to do that. She cooked for the team. In fact, they were had been praying for 2 years that somebody would come and serve among them. And so they prepared a plaque and the pictures of the entire team on the plaque. And they gave this small little tiny police church gave our team this plaque. Thank you for coming and serving with us and helping us. Pastor Jeff was heading up the construction project, our high school pastor, and they had a plan and they had an idea, and they kind of knew what they were doing, I think, and they had some great people helping. And then what happened was that people in the community kept showing up. Well, you're not doing it right. You need to do it different. And according to Jim, Pastor Jeff over and over again displayed humility and said, okay, we'll change. We'll do it different. There was never putting the stakes down. Well, we're from America. We know how to do this. Never, never, never. It was okay. We'll make adjustments. You see, ego builds a cardboard fortress that humility must every day tear down. You're going to have something grow up within you called pride that says, man, I know how to do this. No, you can't tell me what to do. I don't have to. Why isn't somebody? What? And you start complaining and you start looking at others. You start comparing and you go, man, I don't have. And you dig down and then humility says, let it go. Let it go. There's a new movie out by Pixar called Brave. And the star of it is this girl named Merida. And she has a rebellious spirit. She has an independent spirit. And the good thing about this movie for children to watch is you see a transformation in this girl's life. And there's a rhyming oracle in the movie. It goes like this. To look inside, mend the bond torn by pride. And the message of the movie is that the way forward is through humility and repentance. Instead of rebellion, instead of self-fulfillment, which we see in a lot in children's movies nowadays, is be yourself and go for it. What you hear in this movie was be humble. Be humble. Instead of rebelling, find a different path of serving. And so I have to ask you, have you embraced this identity that you're willing to be a humble servant? This is His plan for your relationships. It will transform your marriage. It will transform your parenting. It will transform your ministry. It will transform your outreach to the non-Christian world. If you say, I am going to embrace this identity, I will be a humble servant. Number two, you need to be under God's authority. So you're going to be under God. You're going to say, I am going to live my life under His authority. And because of that, you're going to receive His favor. Here's once again, not only His plan, but now His favor. There is many ways to live life, but this is the only way that you'll receive His favor. That's what it says in verse 5. God opposes the proud. Now think about that a moment. You want some motivation to humble yourself? Look at that phrase. God is raging in battle against the proud heart. It says He sets Himself against. He'll resist it. He'll battle it. He'll fight it. So go ahead, have a proud heart. Guess what? You just made yourself in opposition to God. The root of all sin is this refusal to listen, the refusal to obey, the refusal to do things God's way, the refusal to humble yourself. And when you do that, you're going to go to battle against God. Why? Why don't you take the other path? Here's the other path, verse 5. But He gives grace to the humble. The word grace means unmerited favor. It means He wants to bless you. He wants to do something special in your life. But He doesn't do it with the proud heart. Psalms 25:9. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His way. Don't you want God to lead you? Don't you want God to teach you? Well, it's not going to happen unless you humble yourself. Because the longer you stand with your own ability and your own self-sufficiency and your own attitude and you want it your way, God will not lead that kind of heart. Proverbs 3 says, to the humble He gives favor. Proverbs 22, the reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. So God's ready to reward you. God's ready to bless you. But God hates the proud heart. Proverbs 6, He hates the haughty eyes. Proverbs 8, the pride and arrogance He hates. So here's this very clear statement. God hates the proud heart. He will not favor it. He will not bless it. He will not give you what He wants to give you, is His blessing with your proud heart. So what do you have to do? Verse 6, you need to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves. A decision you need to make. The word humble means to declare your need for Him, to yield to Him, to surrender to Him, to acknowledge His superior rank, to submit willingly. Micah 6:8 says, what does the Lord require? To walk humbly with your God. So He wants me to have a daily lifestyle where I'm walking through life under His mighty hand, under His authority, the mighty hand of God. By the way, this is the only time that phrase is found in the New Testament, the mighty hand of God. So what does it mean? It means God is all powerful. He is sovereign. He is Lord. Total submission to Him. That He alone has the power in my life to direct me, to guide me, to deliver me, to save me, to rule me, to conquer the sin that I'm struggling with. He is ready to give all the blessings of heaven. But He's looking for the humble heart. And without the humble heart, it will not happen. Deuteronomy 3:24 says, O Lord God, You have only begun to show Your servant Your greatness, Your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven and on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as Yours? So you have all this amazing power and all this amazing authority. But God says, I'm going to wait for you to humble yourself. And when you do, then I will help you. It's like a drowning man. A drowning man is the number one thing a lifeguard has to struggle with. Is the drowning man is trying to save himself. And the drowning man must stop fighting and submit to the rescue. And God is wanting to rescue you. And God is wanting to bless you. And God is wanting to fill you. And God is wanting to empower you. And God is wanting to give you victory. And God is wanting to guide you. But He's looking for your humble heart. Are you willing to totally surrender to Him? So it says, so that at the proper time, by the way, God doesn't always rescue on our timing. He doesn't always bless the way we think He's going to bless us. He's got a time for us. So we're going to trust His timing. But the Bible says this promise: if I humble myself under his mighty hand at the proper time, he will exalt. He will lift up. Remember what Mary sang after she was amazed with the miracle of her pregnancy? Luke 1, he has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and he has exalted those of humble estate. James 4, humble yourselves before the Lord. He will lift you up. Luke 14:11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Proverbs 29, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor and favor from the Lord. And when Gabby Douglas won her gold medal on the all-around gymnastics this last week, and I hope you enjoyed her amazing accomplishment. And so here's the microphone time. Get in front of that microphone. Man, the glory. Oh, man, that would be awesome to have a gold medal. And this is what she said: I give all the glory to God. It's a kind of a win-win situation. The glory goes up to him and the blessings fall down on me. Okay. Isn't that great? So she's got to figure it out. Okay. I want God's blessing. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to win every time. It doesn't mean your team's going to always do great. It is not about sports, but it's about life. But here's the principle. I live for him. I give him all the glory. And I know that his blessings will come down. That's how his blessings work. His blessings don't come down on the proud heart. One last thought here. You need to reject anxiety. There's a very interesting verse. Maybe you're very fond of it, in verse 7. About casting your cares on the Lord. But do you realize the context? The context is humility. And what he's telling us, this is Peter talking, and he really knows about pride. What Peter is telling us is you're never going to get to this point of humility, this point of favor from God, this point of healthy relationships, when you hold on to anxiety. And we're thinking, well, I do worry about it. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is what's keeping me from totally surrendering to the Lord. Okay, so he says, cast, verse 7. If you're a fisherman here, you know what casting is all about. But it's actually a bad illustration. You think you know what casting is all about. In a fisherman's mindset, casting is, we were at a stream recently and we saw some people casting, and you throw it out and then you bring it back. That's how we pray a lot, don't we? We throw our prayer out and then we bring back our anxiety, and we throw it out and we bring it back. That's not casting. That's not what this word means. This word requires complete humility, because pride says, I'm in charge of my life. I can do it myself. And you'll never find that place of humility with that attitude. What humility looks like is casting. It means to throw. It's a decisive act. It's a choice where I will no longer rely on my anxieties, on my stress, on my ability to solve the problems, that I will let go. I will admit my need, that there will be a once and for all action. The verb there is a once for all action. That I am going to throw, not like a fisherman where I throw it and bring it back, but I'm going to throw it and let go. All my anxieties. Nothing excluded. The reason is because an anxiety is what is holding me back from experiencing God's blessing. It's what I am grabbing onto and I'm trying to control. It's whatever is distracting me from a total allegiance to God, whatever is dividing me from his will, whatever is bringing fear into my life, whatever is without faith, what keeps us from a full devotion, what brings me discontent or discouragement or despair. What's bringing me down is that combination of the anxiety. We see the anxiety. That's obvious. But the combination of the anxiety and the pride that says I'm going to hold on to it. Okay. So now what do I do? Well, Psalms 55 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. You see, I have to have a trust. And this is why we don't humble ourselves, because to humble myself means to put myself under his authority. And I'm not sure I can trust God. I got to hold on to this. But it says here, he will never permit the righteous to be moved. You can trust him. Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious about anything. Why? But in everything, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, I should pray about it. But why? Because the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You are at a very safe place. Even if the world is falling apart around you, if you have surrendered to him. Now, you can't control what happens to you. But you can control what happens in you. So you've got to make a decision. Are you going to go through life and hold on to the anxieties, by the way, which is an expression of pride? Or are you going to humble yourself and give him your life? All the problems, all the stuff, all the fears, all the anxiety. And you're going to say, I trust you so much that I'm not going to let anxiety rule me. I'm going to let you rule me. Here's what inner peace looks like. If you can start the day without caffeine, if you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can relax without alcohol, if you can sleep without the aid of drugs, okay, so we have much to learn, don't we? Isn't that true, though? How many times we just can't get through the day with all of our little props that we have? So what does it say? Cast your anxieties on him. Don't be anxious, Jesus says. Don't be anxious. Your heavenly Father knows what you need them. Psalms 37, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. He will act. Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That means that he has such a watchful attention of your life, that he is very in tune to what you're going through. He has a compassion and concern and an affection that you can have a confidence to humble yourself. Why don't we humble ourselves? We're not sure he can take care of us. We're not sure he's going to handle it properly. We're not sure if we fully surrender that it's going to be okay. And so we hold on. And so if I submit, I can trust his love. If I humble myself, I can trust his care. If I surrender, I can trust his response. If I give him everything, I know the blessing of heaven will come. So what's keeping you from being a humble servant? My wife and I have been reading a brand new book, by the way, highly recommend it. It's the story of Katie Davis, and it's called Kisses from Katie. And this book just came out this year. And every one of you needs to read it. Get it on Kindle or Amazon or Christian bookstore. I'm sure we'll get it for you. She graduates from high school in an affluent family in Tennessee, full ride scholarship, homecoming queen. And she asked her parents, can I go on a missions trip before I go to college? And so she goes to Uganda for 1 year. It is the most unbelievable story you'll ever read. She is 17 years old. She's not going with any organizations to speak of. She got an invitation to teach kindergarten at this school in Uganda. She goes. She's thinking she'll have 20-some kids. The head of the school opened it up to the community, and there was like 120 kids in her kindergarten class. And then she started seeing the people through the eyes of Jesus. And she starts her own nonprofit at age 18, begins to do some fundraising. She adopts 14 kids, 14 little girls, finds a house, is taking care of them. She finds sponsors for 400 kids for the school. She's now 22, the story of her humble servant will change you. And this is what she says in her book. Jesus wrecked my life. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Why do you do this, Katie? Because of Jesus. Don't you know the rest of your friends are at college having a party and having a good time? I can't be there. I'm not saying all of you need to go to Uganda or Belize or wherever, but what you need to do, all of you, what this church needs to do, for us to find the favor of God, is we need to humble ourselves before Him.
Yeah,
Father in heaven, thank you for the powerful message of Jesus, that you're willing to come from heaven, humble yourself for us, so that we would have life and have purpose and have meaning and have supernatural peace. And Lord God, you know our struggle with pride. And so right now in this moment, there are some that are not Christ followers. And what's keeping them from you, Lord Jesus, is pride. And I pray that in this moment, they would humble themselves before you and they would stop fighting you and they'd stop being your enemy and they would humble themselves before you and they would surrender to you. And they can do that right now. Lord, I pray for the Christians in this room, Lord God, that we would stop doing our self-sufficient life. We would stop doing it our way and with our attitudes and our power and our resistance to the, and we'd stop saying to you what we'll do and what we won't do, and we will humble ourselves. Lord Jesus, will you wreck our lives? Will you take us from our comfort areas? Take us from our definition of what life looks like. Would you open our eyes to the hurting around us? Would you open our eyes to the humble serving you want us to be doing? Will you soften our hearts right now? May this church be a powerful force in this community as we humbly serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. If we can pray for you.